at home still.
Oh, man, it's hot. It's going to get hot out there.
Hey, I don't have but one place to be today, and then I got a single sideband net to call at 7 o'clock tonight for the South Carolina single sideband net. So, you know, I'm not going to run around out there in that heat in the afternoon. I'm going to sit here in the cool house and play on the radio or read or take a nap. I don't know what I'll do this afternoon.
Oh, my gosh, you're retired and stuff. I mean, how do you fill your time, Tom?
More than enough stuff to fill my time. I got more than enough stuff. And I'll... So what you been up to, Wyatt? Haven't talked to you in a while.
I've been working on some projects and putzing around. It's time to do regular inspections. And I even took a class back last month. I was up in Ohio taking a class. And for looking like Friday, I may be taking the class, but it's going to be local, so that's not too bad.
Somebody else is paying for you to go take these classes, hey, I would take all I could get, you know?
Indirectly paid for the last class. This is the next class. I don't think there's going to be a charge for it, and I may actually make some money off of them, so, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. I'm glad you're still out there working. That keeps my Social Security check coming each month.
That's funny. Every time I talk to David Pearson, YQK, he's like, I only got 15 months left, and then I can retire at 60. And it's like, oh, my gosh, David, yeah, you know, you're 5 years older than I am. I won't be able to retire until I'm, like, 65, and I'll be old and tired by then.
Well, wait till you reach my age. I just celebrated back in April the 56th anniversary of my 21st birthday. Go figure.
Yeah, and you know, I was lamenting to my wife. I'm like, you know, all of my friends are like 5 to 10 years older than I am. I need to find me some younger friends to keep me young again.
Older, just keep active, and that way you don't have to worry about looking for those younger friends, because those younger friends will get you in trouble.
A little trouble in their life.
Yeah, but you find out you get into a heck of a lot more trouble than you think.
Thankfully, I am firmly grounded in my beliefs of not, you know, jumping out of perfectly good airplanes or jumping off bridges with a little wire attached to me. Neither one of those will be happening in my older age either.
That'll be happening to me either, so, you know, I'm not one of these folks that, on their 75th birthday, decides to go skydiving.
By the time you got me up to altitude to throw me out of the plane. So, no, that's not happening.
Probably going up in the altitude, and I'd go up there, and I'd sit there and look out the window and watch these other fools jump out of the plane. You know, I learned a long time ago that if you've got a perfectly good plane and it's flying smooth to level, there's no reason to leave that thing.
And even if it's not perfectly level, because I have been inadvertently directed into directed into a level 3 thunderstorm, and you know, you sit there and you're watching, it says you're going level flight, but all of a sudden you drop 1,000 feet, and it's like, can we go somewhere else?
The thing about it is, when you're flying with somebody that you know and you're sitting there while they're piloting, you can get away with that. But when you're flying commercial, you have to do what they say. Or if you're flying with the military, you go where they tell you to go. You don't have this option to say, well, can we move out of this? I mean, you know, this is starting to churn my stomach a little bit here. Can we do something different? And the pilot will look back at you and say, just go back to sleep or something.
That's funny you said that. Where my dad had his office at the downtown airport, we had a flight school. There was a flight school there. And I knew all the instructors. And I remember I had to fly to Oklahoma or Kansas, I don't remember where. Got on the plane at GSP, and lo and behold, there was one of the instructors. And I'm like, I look straight at him and say, can I just turn around and get a different flight? And all the other passengers looked at me and like, uh-oh.
In other words, you were stirring up trouble just by being yourself, right?
And it turned out, maybe because he actually knew somebody that was on the plane, that he flew. It was a beautiful flight to Atlanta. Didn't have any problems. And I went to get out of the plane. I'm like, dude, thanks for giving me a nice flight. Maybe you're not as bad as I remember.
Fly with a lady over here that used to be an instructor over here. Of course, she's passed away now. She was a member of my church, but she was a very good flight instructor, Leor. She'd been a pilot for many years. She competed in all these bunch of these cross-country flights that the women pilots do and the Women's Pilot Association has and all that stuff. So, and I used to use her when I needed to do some flights to take some aerial photos. And she was always good at it. And the plane that she had that we used was real nice. It got me where I wanted to go, got my pictures, got me back to the Spartanburg downtown airport. Didn't have to worry about exiting the plane because, I mean, it was all, it all worked out good. So, you know, it's one of those things that you try to do so it, everybody's happy with you.
Knew Lee. She's a really nice lady. And her friend Carolyn Pilar, who was based out of Greenville downtown. And, they did some stuff that was, scary to me, but, both of them were top of their game at one point.
Years, because she went to my church over here in Spartanburg, because that's where she went to church. And, her and her husband both, they ran the flight school over here at Spartanburg downtown airport for years. And like I said, Lee flew everywhere. She was just as wonderful a teacher. I wasn't taking lessons, but she had a nice plane that was nice and was made for doing air photography, and it could slow down real good and slow and get you some real.
Dad, he had an avionics shop, and it was the only avionics shop within easy flight distance. So, everybody came there and had their stuff worked on. So that's how I knew Lee.
Yep. Well, like I said, I used her a number of times over here in Spartanburg when I had to have some aerial photos done. People contracted with me to do aerial photos, so I'd call her up and book the time, and we'd boogie out to the Spartanburg downtown airport and go up and make the flight and get all the pictures that I needed to make everybody happy. And, that's the way I did it, and it worked out fine. And like I said, she was a very fine lady, and I wish I could have afforded taking flight instructions because she let me, she gave me a sample of what it would be like to learn to fly. And one time when we were up, as we were headed back, she said, "Here, let me show you how easy it is to do this." And she got me up there, in the seat, and I moved from the back area where I'd been taking pictures up to the front, and got a chance to sit there and fly the plane a little bit. Not very far and not for very long, but it was, it was like a intro lesson to learning to fly.
Same thing. He would, because he had a twin-engine Aztec, and he'd be like, "Okay, well, if anything happens to me, you need to know how to get back to an airport, and you need to know how to land." And I'd be flying along, and strictly IFR. I only flew by instruments. The one time I took VFR lessons, the guy told me never to come back, that I couldn't see anything. We won't go into that. So, I actually landed his plane a few times, and we'd be flying along, and all of a sudden he would feather the prop on one engine and teach me how to deal with that situation, that sort of stuff. So, it was actually fun, and it was fun actually landing the plane. I've landed both at Donaldson and at downtown, with him in command, of course. TD4, CTD Mobile.
W2T sitting at home. Well, like I said, I got a couple of chances to when I went up with her, and she'd get me over there in the seat and turn it over to me, and we'd do some turns and we'd do some level flights. Never made any approaches to the airport because the area I was taking pictures in was far enough away from it. It was over a small town, so we just stayed out there and flew around a little bit, and then I went back and got the rest of my pictures, and we flew back to the airport, and I handed her a payment for the flight, and you know, she got my, I got my receipt, and then I put it on my bill for the people that wanted the pictures. So, hey, it all worked out in the long run. I just miss that lady because she was a very, very nice lady, and she liked my, she and my, she knew my wife for years because my wife went to the same church as her for more years than we were married. So, you know, it's like that.
Admit that the most number of bounces ever made on a landing was two, which is actually an abnormally low number for somebody who's never landed a plane before. I figured that was kind of impressive somewhere along the line.
He's the pilot who taught the weather gal at Channel 7 to get her pilot's license. Lee was the one that was her instructor for her to get her pilot's license when she and they were out they had a problem with that plane, and they ended out she ended up putting it down in a field off the side of Highway 290 over here in the Moore area because they weren't going to make it back to the airport, and the plane, because it was in a field, it did a little bit of a flip, and when it stopped moving, it you know, it went where it was going to go, and it stopped moving, and it just kind of flipped over because they had slowed down a good bit by then. So, but they walked away from it, and that's the important thing when you walk away from one of those like that. But yeah, she said that was the only bad experience she had, you know, and she's also a ham radio operator, too. So that makes it nice, Christy Henderson over here at Channel 7.
Whenever that happened in the Lee's plane, it's like I saw that same instructor that ended up being commercial pilot. You know, so a lot of these little planes, they have fixed landing gear. They are not retractable. However, somehow or another, he landed at downtown with one of his six gear completely missing. It had fallen off after he took off. And I don't ever remember what happened, what the cause of that was. I think they sheared a bolt on the strut or something. And but you know, he just put it down and he landed with a pickup. That's how he landed the plane without causing major damage to anything.
Well, like I said, they walked away from this when they it did a little damage to the plane, but the big thing was it was on the struts for the you know, where it made contact, and it just turned over out there in the field. She'd slowed it down enough so that you know, it was going to be it got to the point where it was just a case of it hit a bad spot in that cloud field, and it's going to do what it's going to do, which is turn over. And but they walked away from it with just barely a few scratches, is what Lee and both her and Christy both said. It was just some scratches, and that, other than that, you know, it's one of those things you walk away from, and the things that are always, it's always nice when you can do that.
Lee, oh gosh, he's really loud. Lee was an exceptional pilot. I mean, you know, I can't say anything bad about her. But, you know, landed on grass fields. Dad used to do that all the time because that was all that Somerville, South Carolina had way back in the 80s is a grass field. I think they've relocated the airport and put concrete down now.
Bought that field down at Somerville. I used to live down that way, boy. I lived down in the Hanahan area from 1957 to 1976, so I know about all the situations down there. Being down there in Somerville and going to high school down in that area, and you know, dealing with all the folks that didn't like Somerville High School.
My father and my grandfather my grandfather was the football coach at Somerville High, Chick Myler.
Before my time, for refereeing, because I knew I have the distinction of being the only referee to throw the head coach for Somerville High School for the varsity team out of a game and off the field on a JV game on a Thursday night. And he wasn't too happy about it. He went complained to me, to the guy that did all of our bookings. It was over the Officials Association for South Carolina, and he filed a complaint. And they reviewed it, took a look at what the situation was. You know, I was very nice to the coach, but I wasn't going to put up with what he, because it was a JV game, not a varsity game, and he was out there on the sidelines having a few choice words to say to me, and I wasn't happy about it. And I just let him have his talk, and then I dropped my first yellow flag. And then when he kept it up, I dropped the second one, and I said, "You're gone, and you're going to have to leave the stadium." And that's the part that didn't, you know, that's the part that didn't make him happy, because he couldn't go back up into the booth up there in the press box and sit there and give instructions to his coaches on the sideline. He had to actually leave the stadium. And but, you know, I did my job. I was very polite about it, very, very, you know, calm and collected, as they say. So I did what I was supposed to do, and then I did what he didn't want me to do. But that's life in the football, in high school football in South Carolina.
My grandfather was actually the football coach. I'd have to look that up. But, yeah, that was like, I was thinking that was in the 50s, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Well, I didn't start refereeing football until 1975. It was the first year I called games. And I started out in Charleston area. I was down there in Hanahan, and that was my first year. And then I moved up here in 76 and did 24 more years of it. I had 25 years as a high school football referee in South Carolina.
I wasn't across then at all.
Yeah, and also I knew all about that area down there. I lived down there for 20 years and went to high school down there and all that other good stuff. So anyway, well, I'm gonna let you go. I gotta go do a couple of things, and then I got a place I gotta be at before 12 o'clock. So I need to get through with what I'm doing here at the house and get on the road. But good to talk to you. And you know, it's strange when you run into people that you can talk to that know people you knew. So. And when you're my age, there are not as many of those around as there used to be. But good to talk to you, and you have a good day. And be careful out there running around. W2T, 73s on your final.
Hey, Rafi, it was good talking to you, and we'll catch you later, KJ4, CTD Mobile.